minutes after the hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. I had to ask that like a question mark. That's how we start a Monday. Yeah, there we go. Colfax, man, it was a crazy, crazy weekend of sports when it comes to the national scene, of course. In the NHL, in the NBA, you had the Rockies rolling, and I thought, okay, they're going to climb back to the beautiful 10 games under 500. They got so close, but now they're back to 13 games under, and they're on the road, which is, you just might as well write a big old L there. They're off today, but back at it tomorrow. Kyle Freeland going to the mound. We're going to talk to Drew Kreisman about the Rockies. Is there a little life there? A little life with this Rockies team? I mean, if you can find a way to win some games on the road, this team is one of the best teams in the league at home. How is that possible? You're so good at home, yet you are the second or worst team on the road. So we're going to get into that today. The NBA Conference Finals. This is how you dreamt it up, isn't it? Atlanta, Milwaukee, and Phoenix. And the other LA team, the Clippers. The Clippers, this is the furthest the Clippers have ever been. It's kind of weird to think about that. Overall, the Clippers have not been a great organization, but, and they're thought of as little brother to the Lakers, but they're still thought of as a West Coast team, good market type team, especially when Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan went to LA. There started to be some life there for the Clippers. But they still were never able to get past the Western Conference semifinals. So here they are, first time they've ever gone. Milwaukee has been to two NBA finals. They won one back in 71, and then they went again, and they went in 74 and lost. The Hawks have went four times, but all four times as St. Louis. They were the St. Louis Hawks. They won it in 58. They went the year before that. They kind of dominated in that four-year run. 57, 58, 60, 61, 1 in 58. The Suns, I always thought that the Suns went to the Western Conference Finals at least once with Steve Nash, but they only went in 76 and 93. So, all that, Colfax, means these four teams are not NBA royalty by any stretch. And it might hurt ratings this year, but I think this is what you need. This whole, the NBA is fixed mentality. Can't we crinkle that up and throw it out the window now? Because if the NBA is fixed, the Bucks should have never even come close to beating Brooklyn. Phoenix shouldn't have beat the Lakers. And, I mean, the Clippers, okay, we kind of like that. But Kawhi's out, so it's not as sexy. It's a big deal. I think this is a big thing for the NBA. And then when we get to the offseason, if they can change, seriously have a long conversation about how they should be changing things in the NBA, not a midseason tournament, actually working on flopping and strange shots that create contact should be called offensive fouls. We got to change those things. And I think, man, you would see an NBA for the better. There's no doubt about it. But I like this. I think this is it's going to be fun. Who are you pulling for anybody? I mean, you got Milwaukee and Atlanta, Trae Young and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, those two guys suddenly are must-see television. I like Giannis. I'm pulling for the Bucks, man. I'm really pulling for the Bucks. Some people pulling for the Suns to sweep everybody. They beat the Clippers last night. They want the Suns to sweep everybody, and then it would make the Nuggets look good. Well, they are making the Nuggets look good. The Suns without Chris Paul, the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. But leave it to Devin Booker to just go into takeover mode. 40 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists. I mean, that's going to get the job done. 120 to 114. Meanwhile, the Hawks put the 76ers out of their misery. They win 103 to 96. And what's nuts about all of this, Colfax, is the Hawks in December, I think they were 14 and 20. They were 14 and 20 and fired their coach. And now they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. And that I've never quite seen a turnaround. Like, when you fire your coach most of the time in the middle of a season, that usually means that you're done. All right, we'll see how this year goes. But that's where we are. I mean, an unlikely team in the Hawks get to this point. And, you know, it's pretty cool. I like that. It's a true underdog story. Now, there's no overdog. That's the thing. This would be a much better underdog story if there was a heavier favorite in the mix. But, you know, sure, maybe Phoenix is, but realistically, didn't they just become more of a favorite after what they did to Denver? I mean, I still don't think people believed in Phoenix. They still, with the Lakers, they chalked that one up to, well, no Anthony Davis. And I did too. So, I mean, no hard feelings there. But there's no overwhelming favorite. Yes, it's starting to feel like maybe Phoenix does this thing. And then when they get Chris Paul back, yeah, they should be good to go. But overall, man, Trae Young has been sensational. They've been, I mean, so much fun to watch. And Trae Young is becoming this really fun character in the NBA. He's not Russell Westbrook. He's got an edge, but he's still having fun with that edge, right? So it's a pretty special deal. They're pumped about this. Hawks fans, yeah. I mean, wow. You didn't expect this for a very, very long time. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. Okay, no, it was March 1st. Sorry. March 1st, the Hawks were 14-20, and they had just fired their head coach 3.5 months later. They're now in the Eastern Conference Finals. Is their first win in a road game 7 in 10 attempts. This win, of course, sends the Hawks to the Conference Finals for only the second time in the past 50 years. Nuts. Like, that story right there alone is pretty cool. Milwaukee. Remember Giannis at the beginning of the playoffs? Giannis was asked, you know, what do you think is going to go differently this year as opposed to last year in the playoffs? And he looked dejected. He's like, I don't know that anything will be different. That's not a ringing endorsement going in, right? I don't know that anything will be different this year. Well, they made it back to the Eastern Conference Finals. They were here 2 years ago. They lost 4-2 to Toronto. That should be a fun series. McLean texting in on the First Advantage text line. I tend to have less respect for the Clippers while they haven't had a good history. Kawhi and PG-13 just wanted to be in LA. Almost a super team in disguise with Kawhi. I want to see the Suns play the Hawks. I mean, at this point, yeah, sure. I'm with you. The Clippers, it's hard to really get it. You know, you have Kawhi who wins a championship in Toronto, right? And then he's gone. So it's not really about winning. It's about going to your hometown and being in an LA team and then joining up with your buddies and Paul. And Kawhi has never been a guy that I could figure out. But, this is an unlikely matchup here. One that I think is really good for the NBA. Colfax, 6 teams have never been to a championship. 6. And one of those is in this Final Four, and that's the Clippers. Nuggets, of course, are one of them. Pelicans, Hornets, Grizzlies, T-Wolves. Ugh, when you look at it like that, it makes wanting to get to a championship that much. Because if the Clippers can win and get in this thing, which I don't see how that's possible, not with the way Devin Booker's playing and not with the way Chris Paul's playing, DeAndre Ayton. I mean, this team they are playing with that togetherness that you really hope for at this stage. They're a great team, but I don't see the Clippers. I don't know, man. Do they sweep them? Because, again, Kawhi's not coming back. Do they sweep them here? So if that's the case, then we'll remain at 6. Fun times. Atlanta's never won as Atlanta, though, so that would be a first there. And it's so far, far away, you know, far long ago with Milwaukee. Feels like a lifetime. So, yeah, I'm pumped for it. I'm ready to go. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend that was. The good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. You know, I'm torn here because I'm really a big Giannis fan. And of course, I'm a little bit of a homer there. Giannis loves the Joker. So I'm going to give props to anybody that's like giving our guy props. But the story to me in these playoffs, doesn't it just seem to be, other than Chris Paul and Devin Booker, Trae Young is the name. Trae Young is fun guy to watch.
Donovich back on the floor with Young. Young for three. Got it. Young, a little hesitation, little floater is good. So Trey Young coming to life now. Scramble now, late clock. Up top, Capella throws it down. Set up by Trey Young. 2.5 to go, long three on its way. And Trey Young, ice cold, delivers a three.
What I like about him is in that game seven, he was not good. He was ice cold all night. He missed 17 of his first 19 shot attempts from the field. By the third quarter, I mean, it felt like, okay, Trey Young's done. He's not going to get into this thing. But then he went nuts. He just keeps going, and that's a young player to just say, all right, I know it's been rough for me, but I'm going to get going. His last two big shots from the field basically iced this thing, then made some key free throws. So head coach of the Hawks, Nate McMillan, said, dude, this guy's fearless. The opponents have to guard for that. He'll take a shot if he's open, regardless of how many shots he's missed. Those guys can be scary players for you as a head coach. They can be dangerous for the opposing team, though. Mentally, they just don't let it get in their way. So Trey Young, wow, what a performance. The bad for me, the Rockies looked like they were going to sweep that Milwaukee series, at least win the series, and then fell apart the last two games.
Hard with the 3-2 again. And Vogel back with a base hit into right field. Here comes Jace Peterson rounding third. The throw to the plate, and safe at home is Peterson as it gets through Nunez. And then it's uncorked into right field. Moving to second, the big fella. And he's out at second. But the Brewers take the lead. There are two outs in the inning.
Another meltdown for Daniel Bard. The Rockies are off today, back at it on the road against Seattle. And Kyle Freeland expected to go to the mound. So we'll talk to Drew Kreisman about that momentarily. The ugly? How about the fan that got beat up? The Nuggets fan that was wearing the Murray jersey got beat up by the Suns and Four guy who's making bank now, and everybody's talking about him. Well, this guy wanted to get the word out. He was on some weird generic podcast thing. I've never heard of it before, but somehow this guy got out there. His pants were halfway down to his knees. That's kind of the big story there, too. Like, basically nothing there. He had this to say about the fight that, or I guess it wasn't really a fight, the whooping that he took. Here's what he had to say about it.
First thing he did was just try to yank. He didn't even try to soft me. But when he went to yank my chain, he scratched my nose.
Okay.
So before that video started already, if you look at that video, I was already bleeding on my nose.
Okay, because he scratched
me. Yeah, he scratched me. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Look, if you ever been in a fight, you know, if you get soft in your nose, hard one, you're going to have black eyes right here.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so obviously, I don't have black eyes.
You can call it whatever you want, dude. That guy was unloading on you. And I want to get into more of this a little bit later on. But he's basically saying he didn't even connect. Well, then why did you, like, lay there? You were, like, bent over. The guy, you had the ground, right? He's over the top. You should be able to go down. He's thrusting upward. Why did you just lay there and allow him to basically hold you while he's looking at the other guy, telling him Suns and Four, and then punches that dude? If he didn't hurt you, why didn't you get away from him? All right, I don't know, man. The more I watch this and the more I hear some of the response, I think this could be a terrible thing and a terrible direction that we're going to go here if we don't try to clip some of this stuff. Because we're in a world now, Colfax, that wants to be famous in 15 seconds, whatever. All it's going to take is throw one punch and you're all over TV now and it's a big deal. So I want to be very careful with this. These two guys, one guy is being looked at as a hero, and I'm not saying he shouldn't have defended himself. I'm just saying, all the tickets and the free stuff that he's getting from the Suns, I mean, that's a weird thing. We're rewarding, and I know he defended himself, right? But now are we setting up a society that go to a basketball game, go to a football game, get into a crazy fight, and suddenly you're getting interviewed by whoever the hell that guy was, Barstool Media recognizing you, the Suns recognizing you, the NBA recognizing you. So I want to get into this a little bit later on. First off, we got to take a quick break. I got my guy, Drew Kreisman. We haven't talked to Drew in a while. Let's talk about the Rockies. Let's see where they are at this point. It felt like they were really getting some momentum, and then it just kind of stalled out the last 2 days. 19 minutes after the hour, this is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Welcome back. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now, Drew Kreisman, our Rockies insider from DNVR Rockies. Drew, before we get into Rockies, I owe you an apology, okay? I owe you a apology, my friend. I made a suggestion to you a few weeks back about a show you should watch. And it's called Jupiter's Legacy, and I just found out not long ago that they canceled it. It's not even going to make it into a second season. So I may have put you on a path of watching something that will give you no true end, and for that I apologize.
You know what's funny about that, Brady, is we were literally about to start the show. And we saw that news, and we were we're going to watch it.
You're still going to give it a shot.
Yeah. You know, and there are a lot, you know, some of my favorite shows, like Firefly. Were you a Firefly guy?
I never was, but one of our producers here is obsessed with it.
Yeah, like, I could see it being like that. So, like, I'll be very curious, and, like, I've also heard some people say maybe they'll pick it up. And now I'm almost more intrigued by it, but we definitely went in a different direction. We watched Sweet Tooth instead, but we're going to get to Jupiter's Legacy eventually.
So you're still okay, and I have respect for that, because sometimes when I am watching something or getting ready to watch, wasn't it Swamp Thing was out a few years ago, and then I'm getting ready to watch it, and they said they weren't going to do it anymore. So I have a hard time, because I want to know there's going to be, at some point, there's going to be an end to what I'm seeing. But mad props to you for that, because that takes some skill, some courage, my friend.
You know, I've had some favorite shows that ended after the first season. One of my favorite shows should have ended after its first season in Heroes.
Oh, my goodness.
Because its first season was phenomenal. And then everything they did after that, I was like, oh, you guys ran out of ideas.
Dude, that is one of those I'll never forget. I mean, it had me hooked. That was when Netflix was still delivering CDs to your house still.
Yep.
I mean, so I remember waiting on the new disc, like, oh, my God, I got it. And then
save the world, man. Come on, let's go.
And then it's like, they came up with all these kind of cool concepts and didn't know how to tie it all up. And let's just do a bunch of time travel in the second one and see what happens.
Yeah, just rewrite everything. Let's do that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, come on.
Those were the days, my friend. Drew Kreisman joining us, our Rockies insider. All right, Drew, the Rockies were getting some crazy momentum, man. They took care of the Padres, swept the Padres. They started off great against the Brewers, came all the way back the other night. Kind of fizzled at the end of these last two, though.
Yeah, you know, that was tough, because the sweep of the entire homestand was right there for them, basically, if they make like two or three more pitches in the series. It's also tough because the Brewers have been the hottest team in baseball over the last 4 weeks, and you really didn't expect to, even with the momentum that they had, to beat them in the first two games with their two best pitchers on the mound and Woodruff and Burns. But, you know, yeah, they're playing good baseball. That doesn't mean that all of the elements of the team that are, you know, without depth or top-end talent are suddenly fixed. One of those losses comes when they're down to their fourth-string closer and Tyler Kinley, and even he pitched pretty well. Just one pitch that maybe caught a little more of the plate than it wasn't even a terrible pitch, and Willy Adames hits a two-run home run in the ninth inning. You tip your cap. The other guys are paid a lot of money. My dad always used to say he was a big KU basketball guy. He would always say, you know, the boys on the other team are on scholarship too. And so sometimes you got to tip your cap. And that was one of those. The other one, you know, like you said, you're down 6-0. You kind of expect to go, okay, they're back to being, okay, that was a nice little run, but it wasn't really real. Brewers are the real team. The Rockies are the fake team. This is going to be a series 3-1 series win. They already had the split, but you go, they're splitting for sure, no way. And then they come back, they score 6 runs in an inning, they hit 4 home runs, they're right there. You know, yeah, these guys just play a much, much better brand of baseball at home. I think that's real. I think at some point it's going to translate to better momentum on the road. They're not going to suddenly become great, but I think they're going to be you know, a decent ball club. I've been saying for quite a while, and after this rough start, you know, I still think they're around a 70-win team. And you know, people are going, they are absolutely nuts. There's no way this team doesn't lose 100 games. They're going to lose 105 games. And, you know, the deeper we get into the season, that 100-loss season doesn't seem quite so inevitable, you know. And then you look over at the Arizona Diamondbacks and you go, oh, wow, God, the Rockies aren't even the worst team in their own division.
Right. Much better than the Diamondbacks at this point then, right? I mean, well, yeah. and they're halfway there almost to that over-under prediction we went into with the 63-65. So I was going to ask you about that. You know, if you went with the over on that, you got to be feeling pretty okay, at least at this point.
Yeah, there are a couple of interesting, you know, hurdles you got to get past if you're really if you want to make your over on that, because what happens if they trade Trevor Story? Mm. Patrick Lyons and I on the DNVR Rockies podcast the other day were having this conversation, because the smartest thing to do, actually, from a long-term point of view right now, and this is going to sound very strange, but it's actually to trade all your good relievers. And they only have three good relievers, and everyone past that is kind of, ugh. But those three guys have quite a bit of value: Daniel Bard, Michael Gibbons, and Carlos Estevez. You should probably trade at least two of those guys, because they're not going to be on contract through the future, and you can get some nice young pieces that are going to help you. But can you imagine the Rockies' bullpen if you got rid of the old...
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy.
What now?
You need starters to just play for days, man. I mean, that's where you'd be. That would be a...
Gombers out there going eight innings every time.
No, and I... Well, and again, we all know this season... Wins are neat. They're neato at this point, right? Getting over 65, it's cool. But you should be using this season, whatever that looks like, for plans for next year and the year after that. I mean, it's not about this season. If you can win, great. Maybe avoid, you know, the absolute dumpster fire that some fans thought it was going to be. So that would be kind of cool for them. But for the most part, no, they're not playing for anything real at this stage, other than growth and development and future ideals of what this team could be.
Right. And this was always a conversation, because again, my partner on the podcast wants to go full tank, lose as many games as possible, get the number one overall pick. You know, the whole nine.
Yeah.
And I totally get that, but I also think, you know, in baseball, if you get the third or fourth or fifth pick, especially in these recent drafts, you know, we saw the way Zach Veen fell to them last year. So I feel like you've got plenty of opportunity to both get some growth out of your young players. It's going to lead to some accidental wins, if you will, accidentally sweeping the Padres, because Raimel Tapia is on fire.
Oh,
and
goodness.
Jonathan Daza is doing his thing at the top, and then you've got McMahon with the big swings that are coming here and there, Story working his way back into it. So when you have those guys, and especially the pitching, you know, I mentioned Gomber and how good he's been lately. Tough that he's on the IL right this moment, but it's you need to see that growth, and those are great things for your future. You know, if it takes you from the second overall pick to the fifth overall pick, that's actually I'm willing to take that if the progress we're seeing out of these young players is real.
Drew Creisman joining us from DNVR Rockies. Let's talk about a guy that's, you know, we've talked about trade possibilities and whatnot, but then of course gets hurt. John Gray, what does the immediate future look like for him? When can we expect him back? And is his name still swirling around with, you know, because we kind of paired Trevor Story and John Gray into that whole trade scenario. What do you see for the immediate future injury-wise with Gray and then beyond that?
Yeah, I think we're going to see him back here pretty soon. It sounds like it was a minor thing for him. And this is going to, it sounds crazy to people every time I say this. I think they're going to extend John Gray. I think John Gray wants to stay pitching for the Colorado Rockies. And that's about 75% of the equation, honestly, because, and this is difficult for people who haven't spent a long time around the team or in a vacuum, trade John Gray. Don't re-sign him for what he's worth right now. He's about to turn 30. It's going to take you a couple of years before you're going to be good. Get something out of him. Get a little bit younger and move on. But you're the Colorado Rockies. You can count on one hand the number of guys who, A, like pitching at Coors Field, and B, and this is the more important part, are good at pitching at Coors Field. And John is maybe the guy who's figured that out the best. It's him and Jorge De La Rosa. you can add Aaron Cook into the mix if you like. And Marquez is starting to make his way into that conversation. And so for me, he wants to be here. He likes it here. He's comfortable here. I think he can still be good by the time you've got your next successful team. I don't think he costs you that much anyway, and I don't think you get a ton for him in the trade. So let him be the guy who helps pass on. Yes, I know you can do it. The next, you know, generation of guys, Ryan Rollison, the Hector Soliveras, these guys who are coming up, you can say, I've been through what you're going through right now, the struggles, I can help you get through it. Even Sensatella, even Austin Gomber is going to have his moments, you know, and being there for those guys. And also still, yeah, pitching pretty well. He's shown you he can do that. So I'd like to, and the Rockies have all the money in the world to spend, especially if they are going to lose Trevor Story. They've got like $25 million guaranteed next year to Charlie Blackmon and Herman Marquez. And everybody else is a young guy in arbitration, making basically league minimum or a little bit more. So sign John Gray.
Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%. I would love to see that happen. I'm a Gray fan anyway. But it does make sense because I love that point by you. You don't often find a lot of guys that are decent at pitching and then want to be there. So I say that's the perfect combination. Find a way to make it happen. Drew, next up for the Rocks, dreaded words. Nobody wants to hear if you're a Rockies fan, but on the road for the next five games.
Can't get much worse, right?
I don't think so.
Say that, and then you look at the Diamondbacks and you go, oh, they lost 23 consecutive road games. And so,
well, you can't take away the wins that they do have on the road. That's the way it can get worse. If you lose so badly, they just start taking away wins that you had earlier.
Very true. You know, I do think at some point the growth of the young players, the confidence that they're building and finding those wins at home is going to translate to a little bit of confidence out on the road. I'm very curious about what the banning of the sticky stuff is going to do for that whole, because that just makes the Coors Field hangover effect that much worse when guys have extra spin and there's a mush ball and everything going on that's been suppressing offense. So these guys that are hot at the plate right now, Kentapia and Daza, keep it going, and Story's heated up too, and that can lead to a couple of road wins here and there. Again, I don't think they're about to go on a run, but you know, you pick up two or three road wins on one road trip, you've almost doubled your total for this. All of
there
a sudden, it doesn't quite feel so dramatic. It's 5-27. Not good, Brady.
No, my friend, it's not. It doesn't sound great. It does not hit the ears right. I wanted to get your thoughts to the sticky stuff. And they're, you know, they're taking those extreme measures now. Kind of wanted to get your thoughts there. And then when you look at steroids and all that, and how that compares when you're looking at forms of cheating, if that's where we're going. Will this kind of punishment, what is it, 10 games? Is that what the suspension is? Wanted to get your thoughts there on the sticky stuff.
Yeah, it's all super fascinating. I'm glad the league is finally doing something. I don't know why they're doing it in the middle of a season.
Right.
That feels a little strange and whatever. It's weird to call out like certain guys. Like I felt Tyler Glasnow felt like he got hurt because he had to grip the ball harder, and he felt like that was unfair. And I totally get why he feels like that was unfair. At the same time, just the fact that everyone had agreed that this kind of style of cheating was okay, and then it got taken to another couple of steps, doesn't mean that it ever really truly was. And there were some guys who just weren't doing it. You know, it like with the steroids, there's a lot of parallels where you want to paint with broad strokes and say, well, everyone was a cheater, so it doesn't matter. People did this after the Astros sign-stealing thing. They're like,
right,
everyone was doing it, so why does it matter? It's like, well, we caught them doing a system-wide, like, we saw the blueprints. Like, they were right. They were the type of emails, dude. This wasn't like, come on. You know, and this is the same thing. The sticky stuff got way out of hand. Some guys were just getting a little extra grip on the ball so they don't lose it and hit you in the head, and hitters were fine with that. But now they're adding extra RPMs on the ball. Guys are throwing 97-mile-an-hour sinkers that move 9 inches. You can't
right,
hit that. It's ridiculous. So they needed to do something because it had gotten way out of control. and you know, adds to the style of baseball that most people say they really hate, where it's just a strikeout or a home run or a walk, and there's no base hits or defense or base running or any of these things anymore, all the shifts and everything. And one of the reasons why Raimel Tapia is so funny, he's like the cure-all for all of that stuff. But it's like, they had to ban the sticky stuff. Why they did it at this exact moment, why they waited for Trevor Bauer to call them out or for the offense to really dip, that doesn't look good. Even when doing the right thing, somehow Rod Manfred manages to not commissioner well.
It just makes it look so bad. You never see this kind of move at this point. You just never do. And you're right. Even though it's, you know, I think in a perfect world, we'd all like to remove cheating and any signs of cheating out of the games. But it happens. And then you have to try to investigate and fix it up as much as you possibly can. Strange timing for sure. Drew, what are you working on for us, man, that we could check out the next couple of days? I know the Rockies are off today.
Yeah. I'm taking a breath. I'm taking a breather today. You know, reading comic books, doing those kinds of things. But then getting back at it, got a couple of fun articles writing on some what if moments over the last few years for the Rockies, some of which people know about, the obvious ones. But if you don't let DJ LeMahieu walk, can this whole thing have been saved? One thing people don't know is just before that last era, the Colorado Rockies actually offered Jose Abreu the best contract offer he had gotten as an international free agent. Mm. He was second on their list. He just happened to choose the White Sox because they had more Cuban players and more ties to Cuba, and he wanted, it had nothing to do with the contract offer. There wasn't really anything else the Rockies could have done. It's the best offer on the books. If he decides on that day, hey, I'm going to take the years and the money instead, Jose Abreu is the first baseman for the Colorado Rockies over the last 6-7 years instead of Ian Desmond and Daniel Murphy and whoever else. And what does that do? You know, so I've got a few of those coming up.
I love that kind of stuff. That's fascinating too, Drew. I want to check that out for sure, my friend. And as always, appreciate you popping on the show. I'm sorry I steered you in a weird direction with the TV show, but it sounds like you're going to watch it anyway. So let me know what you think.
Yeah. And then if we love it, then we've got to hop on with the petitions or whoever.
Yes, because those work, right? With Game of Thrones. We're still waiting on that. You didn't sign the Game of Thrones one, right?
No, I didn't like the ending, but
you
relax.
The idea of redoing the whole thing with the same, that's not going to happen. No. The actors aren't going to do it. It's never going to happen.
But they did save Lucifer. My fiance watches Lucifer. I've never seen it, but that got canceled by somebody, and then they brought it back somewhere else. Those are the details. Report.
So maybe it does work sometimes, yes. Drew, appreciate you as always, my friend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Absolutely. Take care, Brady.
All right, man. Actually, I won't catch up with him next week because I'm taking next week off. I am not going to the beach. It is a staycation. We're not going anywhere, but I am taking next week off. Colfax, I have a pair of tickets to give away for Three Doors Down with Romero. Three Doors Down, man. You know you're listening out there, and you just suddenly started singing Kryptonite. You started going right into that. So Three Doors Down, I got a pair of tickets for the Greeley Stampede this Saturday, if you can believe it. This Saturday, the Stampede starts on Thursday. I got tickets to see Three Doors Down, a pair of them. Let's go caller number 6 on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. 353-1310. If you're caller 6, you got a pair of tickets to go see Three Doors Down. 43 minutes after the hour, let's get out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
A little Three Doors Down action there coming up on Saturday night. You a big Three Doors Down guy, Colfax?
Man, I was. I tell you what.
I loved Three Doors Down. Back
this is
day.
A good song. I used to.
Oh, my gosh.
I haven't listened to it in a long time.
It's a great song. They had some good ones, man. They had a lot of good ones. I can't think of anything. I'm not a big names guy of songs.
Let's see. They got Loser.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Duck and Run.
Yeah. I've heard that.
Be Like That.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's kind of a little inspirational song, I think. Okay. Be Like That. Loser is good. That one's like one of my favorites. No, no snickering, hooligans. I know you're like, oh, loser. Yeah, they were good. They were good.
That brought back some memories.
They were supposed to be at the Stampede last year, so it was kind of cool to see most of the same acts that were committed last year
just recommit
and stick with it. You got to wonder how that happened throughout the country, too, right? With musical acts that were supposed to go places, how many of those people bought tickets, held on to their tickets, wondering when they were going to reschedule, whatever, and then they just don't, right? Wasn't there a guy, I think there was a guy that was supposed to be at the Stampede last year but didn't recommit. Everybody else did. Party? Is that the name? Okay. Party? His name's Party.
Okay.
He must like to party a little bit, is what I'm guessing.
Too much, mate.
Too much. Could party too much. John Party. Okay. John Party too much to come to the Greeley Stampede, apparently. Well, his loss. 49 minutes after the hour, the Stampede starts on Thursday.
It's mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing because we didn't have it last year, and it's been so long, so I think people are ready to rock and roll boot, scoot, and boogie. That's what you rock and roll, Three Doors Down, and then you boot, scoot, and boogie at the rest of them.
Scoot and boogie.
That's exactly right. 49 minutes after the hour, Power to Play Sports poll question available at thewholeshow.com. Should the Nuggets, assuming they're healthy, just run it back next year? Or do they need to make a big move? Tim Connelly spoke to Denver Nuggets media last week, at the end of last week, in kind of his end of season presser. We're going to get to that. Some of the things that came out of that kind of leads my brain to go one way or the other as far as my prediction as to what Denver will do. We'll discuss next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to The Halls Show on 1310 KFKA.
Oh, he busted through that first hour. That was fantastic. Drew Kreisman with a little Rockies update. We haven't talked to Drew lately. We're kind of waiting to get the Rockies in a decent spot, and they're not really. And I don't think they will be, but I'm still shooting for the 10 games. Get back to 10 games under 500, and that's where we live with the Rockies. If you're expecting more, then you should probably give up watching the Rockies because you clearly didn't watch anything in the offseason that took place. I mean, it'd be a shock of the world. McLean says, who do you think was better this year, Lillard or Luka Doncic? That's a tough one. Luka's name got out there more, no question about it. Lillard, to me, is steady Eddie. That guy is so good. All the time. He gets no respect. Love to see him in a Nuggets uniform. I know that's a different conversation, but it's hard to argue. Luka, I mean, had the numbers, right? I mean, I don't have their stats in front of me, but I'm just kind of thinking of... I'm definitely more terrified of Dame, and nothing changed this year. So maybe he had the better year. Who's the better player? I'm going with Dame. No question. I don't know. Luka might have had the better year overall, but Lillard scares the hell out of me. He's in that Curry area, but I think he can do so much more inside the paint, too. All right, our Power to Play Sports poll question. It's a great question, McLean. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is, should the Nuggets just, make a couple of tweaks, but nothing major, run it back again with a healthy Will Barton, with a healthy Jamal Murray, assuming he comes back within a couple of months of the season, or do they need to make a big move? And if you're going to make a big move, you have to be prepared to cut some salary away or make a big trade with pieces that you see being a part of your future. So those of you, Will Barton for so-and-so. Well, Will Barton's on a player option, so... That's not even a possibility. You got to be realistic, and that's what you're tuning into the whole show for, because we're realistic. Second hour coming up next.